Our 3 o'clock gym class getting ready to come your way right here on KGYM. Plenty to talk about. The Iowa women with a barn burner last night against Florida State down at Carver Hawkeye Arena. We will talk men's college basketball coming up. We'll do that with Kevin Lehman here on the show. Tiger back? We'll talk about that. We'll give you a Bowling Night in America update and a whole lot more coming up on the gym class. KGYM.
Once again, it's time to hear Back Home Again in Indiana. And here's Mr. Jim Nabors. Back home again in Indiana, and it seems that I can see the gleaming candlelight still turning bright through the sycamores for me. The newborn hay its fragrance through the fields I used to roam. When I think about the moonlight on the Wabash, how I long for my Indiana home.
Oh, yes, from 1995. There you go, the now late, great Jim Nabors. And, yeah, that didn't make the hairs in the back of your head stand up when you were amongst 350,000 or so of your closest friends in Indianapolis. I don't know what will, but rest in peace, Mr. Nabors and Gomer Pyle from the Andy Griffith Show. Good afternoon. Gym class coming your way here on KGYM. Scott Unash alongside Mark Dukes, Kyle Mann, our producer, as we set sail for a Thursday edition of the show. Kevin Lehman will join us coming up in just a little bit. We'll go over what happened last night on the lanes. Tiger is on 18 right now. How is he going to finish up? Is he back? We will talk about that. You and I, a huge win last night. We'll kick that around and kick that around with Kevin. And to start things off with, Mark, besides the unfortunate passing of Mr. Nabors today, was the fact that the Iowa women played a barn burner last night against Florida State, an Elite Eight team from last year, rated number 11. Both teams were undefeated going into that game last night. And we don't usually, you know, lead things off with women's college basketball, but I tell you what, we had the game was on at the bowling alley last night. It caught everybody's attention last night. People were actually watching. They were cheering, rooting, whatever the case may be. And you know what? When it's 94-93, that was somewhat more exciting than a lot of men's games we've seen this year. So, hey, I thought it was great theater last night.
I thought it was a lot of fun and an excellent game. Lisa Bluter has a very, very good team. That is very good basketball team right there. And as you mentioned, Florida State, an Elite Eight team last year in the NCAA tournament, and Iowa led most of the way.
Yeah, they did.
Couldn't hang on, and I marvel at Megan Gustafson.
She is amazing.
She had 34 points last night and maybe a recount because she only had 9 rebounds. She usually has a double-double, but her ability to get to the hoop and maneuver around the basket really is something else to see, and she's a wonderful player, going to be around for another year, and it was just a terrific basketball game, I thought.
Yeah, I thought it really was, and I think Iowa, even in a loss, showed something to the national folks last night. And you and I were talking about it yesterday, the fact that there is maybe the biggest chasm between the haves and the have-nots, and I shouldn't say have-nots, but The elite and then the next level in any sport is women's college basketball.
Has been. Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it's going to close anytime soon, but for Iowa to show and to play that well against one of those teams who is knocking on the door of being elite, like Florida State, I think it really showed something for Lisa Bluter's group.
Well, for the longest time, it's been Connecticut, and then maybe a group of 4 to 8 teams. Baylor and Notre Dame. But Connecticut's been the kingpin. All right. But it seems each and every year it's just a half a dozen teams, maybe a little bit more. Maryland's been good, that have a chance to win a national championship. And Iowa stood toe-to-toe with one of the up-and-comers last night and acquitted themselves very well.
Yeah, they really did. Your thoughts about it, 319-366-1600. 319-366-1600. That is the Hertina Stocker Jewelers text line. If you'd like to join in, you can also reach us at 319-366-1600.
Tiger Woods in the house with a 3-under par 69.
He's not in the house. He's not in our house.
Not in our house. In the clubhouse in the Bahamas. Hero World Challenge. 3-under par 69 in his first competitive tournament in 301 days. He's tied for 7th in the 18-man field. Keep that in mind. And he currently stands 3 strokes behind the leader, Tommy Fleetwood, right now. Tiger with
he's getting married, by the way, after Tuesday, the tournament.
Tuesday, yeah.
5 birdies and 2 bogeys, both on par fives for Tiger today. I watched a lot of his round, and he had a couple trunks along the way. He didn't play those 2 par fives particularly well, and I know he'll talk about that after the round and rue what might have been. But all in all, pretty good opening round for Tiger. We'll see what happens.
He putted well, though,
today. 3 more days. He did.
Putted well today. And usually when Tiger putts well and makes about 3 or 4 25, 30-footers, things usually go well.
True with you, too, right?
Well, with anybody. With anybody. But I think that, I thought it was fine. Passing grade. He did well in this tournament a year ago before he shut it down.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he'll probably do fairly well in this thing again. He was hitting the ball well. Club speed was good. Ball speed was good. Everything was good. Had a couple of wayward drives. Had one on 15 that went into the gunk a little bit. But, this isn't Augusta National.
Mm-hmm.
Let's put it this way. 5 par 5s on this course, too. Keep that in mind. So, I thought it was fine.
I'd say encouraging.
Yeah.
Is he back? I don't think we can really tell until he plays in the full field tournament.
For 4 days. If you recall last year, he also had a very good round in the opening round at this tournament and then fell off each day after that.
Mm-hmm.
The proof is going to be how is the back going to go and how is everything going to go for 4 days. Not necessarily in this tournament, but I think you're right. When he gets into a full-fledged PGA event, like I said, this is 17 of his closest friends there playing with him this week in the Bahamas.
As long as we're on to sentimental songs, can we play My Old Kentucky Home? In fairness to the Kentucky Derby. That's really an iconic song, isn't it? And you've been to Indianapolis Motor Speedway numerous times and heard Jim Nabors sing that song.
Absolutely.
And he did Gomer Pyle on the Andy Griffith Show. He did Gomer Pyle USMC, among other things, but
had a spinoff.
Right along with that is singing ability, right?
Yeah, great singer. Fantastic singer. And, the place would go absolutely nuts when it was time for Back Home Again in Indiana with Jim Nabors. And did it for the final time 3 years ago, I believe. And there was talk that they might want to have him back for the 100th. Didn't happen. He politely turned it down and went out, I believe, in 2014 with a great rendition right there.
He's so, 87, by the way.
Yep, he was 87 living in Hawaii out there. 319-366-1600 talked about the Iowa women. football accolades today. This just coming out, and within the last half hour, Matt Campbell has been named the Big 12 Coach of the Year. Not a real big surprise right there. Congratulations to Campbell. And a total of 20 Cyclones named to the Big 12 postseason team. 20.
Including an honorable mention.
12 yeah. honorable mentions. Which, hey, when did Iowa State last have 20 people within a five-year period that were mentioned on an all-Big 12 team?
Mm-hmm.
First team, all-Big 12, David Montgomery, Alan Lazard, Kamari Cotton-Moya. They were all first team, all Big 12. Second team honors for Allen, Chase Allen, Jake Campos, Wagner, Joel Lanning, and Jake Peavy. I got a feeling a lot of Cyclone fans aren't going to be happy with Joel Lanning on the second team.
Where's Ray Lima?
I was honorable mention. Yeah, I thought Ray Lima should have been there.
He's tough in the middle.
But there are a lot of good defensive linemen in the Big 12.
Sure.
This year. And he might have just caught in a number situation right there. But Julian Good-Jones among those, the former Cedar Rapids, Washington product that was named honorable mention today on one of the teams as far as the Big 12 is concerned. So pretty good stuff right there.
Honors in the Iowa camp as well, as Josie Jewell and Josh Jackson reeled in linebacker and defensive back of the year awards in the Big 10. Paul Christ, coach of the year. Poll question today at KGYMradio.com, brought to you by Emil's Hideaway. Who will be the bigger loss to the Iowa defense in 2018? Be Josie Jewell or Josh Jackson? And we're assuming that Jackson is going to the NFL.
That's what we're assuming.
Thanks to Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids next to Home Depot and behind Taco John's.
What do you think? That's a tough question. You don't want to lose either one of them. If I had to take a vote, though, in the world of college football that we live in right now, in 2017, in the pass-happy world that we live in, I would say the bigger loss would be Josh Jackson, and that's not an affront to Josie Jewell, I think, at this time. I think corners are harder to come by probably than linebackers.
I'm going to disagree. I think Iowa will miss both should Jackson go to the NFL. I think Jewell made so many plays. He missed one game this year. Made so many plays in crucial situations. And without him, I don't think Iowa would have ranked in the top 25 in scoring defense this year in the country. Jackson made some hellish plays. There's no doubt about that, including that two-game stretch. But I think Iowa showed signs of having some pretty good up-and-coming defensive backs in that Nebraska game, but maybe none along the lines of Josh Jackson. We'll see.
Well, you can't go wrong with either result here.
Both are going to be missed, yeah.
They're both going to be missed. Same thing as you take a look at Iowa State. Are they going to miss Lanning and Cotton-Moya and Alan Lazard? As far as that team is concerned, you're darn right. They're going to miss those guys. They got a lot coming back, but still going to be tough to replace those. Going to be tough to replace Josie Jewell. And indeed, if Josh Jackson does go to the National Football League, which some people are speculating. But at this point last year, we thought Desmond King was a slam dunk to go to the NFL, and he came back for his senior season.
319-366-1600 is our Hurting and Stocker Jewelers text line and our phone line. Kyle Mann, our producer today, across the glass, working hard, booking guests, doing all kinds of stuff. Hurting and Stocker in downtown Iowa City, and you can visit online, hurtingandstockerjewelers.com. 4702 Hankins will take Josh's spot. In regard to the Iowa women's game last night, Kenneth at 2364. The Iowa women's game was a lot of fun to watch. I like the four quarters feature, too. Any talk of this ever reaching the men's game?
Yes.
That's been experimented in the NIT, right?
Yes. Last year,
mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact. They didn't stop the game, per se, but at the 10-minute mark, they wiped out the foul situation. I think what people like about the quarter situation is the fouls.
I do, too.
Because you get, I think it was five, and you get to go to the free throw line for two.
And there's no one and one.
Right, no one and one.
Right.
You get five in 10 minutes, you go to the free throw line. And it kind of wipes out a situation like they had last night in Duke, Indiana, that both teams run the bonus with 13 and a half minutes to go, and it turns into a little bit of a free throw parade. I think that's why people like it a little bit more. As far as I think it's fine in college basketball. I kind of like to see high school basketball flip-flop and go from quarters to halves because so many times you see without a shot clock, teams hold it for 40 seconds at the end of a quarter. So in essence, you're only playing seven-minute quarters.
Interesting.
So, and by the way, shameless plug, two very good boys basketball games coming your way tonight on KGYM. Myself and Denny Gettle are going to be over at Kennedy. It'll be Kennedy and Linmar boys on 107.5 FM tonight, and that will be at right around 7:30 with the pregame. And then Morgan Hawk and Eric Peterson will be down at Iowa City West tonight. That's going to be an early start. They have moved that up now to a 7 o'clock. They're shooting for a 7 o'clock varsity start so Dowling can get back a little bit earlier. It's going to be a 5:30 sophomore game for that one. So we're thinking about 6:45, 6:50 with the pregame on 106.3 FM. But West Des Moines Dowling coming over to the eastern part of the state to take on defending champion Iowa City West.
I like it.
I'd love to see it. There are going to be less and less of those because the CIML is now going to round robin for their basketball. And not going to see as many of these, but got a couple this year, and that's one of them. So that's on 106.3. Iowa State at Drake Women tonight, which should be very entertaining. Talking about women's basketball. 1600 a.m. we'll have that coming up tonight, and that will be at 7 o'clock. Remember the Drake Bulldogs won the Mo Valley last year and went to the NCAA tournament. And they get Iowa State at the Knapp Center tonight.
Three frequencies, three different games.
We hope. Keep your fingers crossed on that one. Oh man, we'll talk more about this coming up with Kevin Lehman here in just a couple of minutes, but mentioned the Iowa women with a great game last night. How about the UNI men? Has there been a team around the country, and I will include the country, that has had better wins than UNI? You take a look at SMU, North Carolina State, who beat Penn State last night in the Big Ten ACC shootout. UNI beats unbeaten UNLV last night at home in the Mountain West Mo Valley Challenge, or whatever they call it. And a great win in overtime last night. Big, big night for Bennett Cook and Clint Carlson last night for the Panthers.
Yeah, UNI very early on and quickly here building a nice resume. And is one of the favorites, if not the favorite, in the Missouri Valley Conference. We'll talk to Kevin Lehman more about the UNI Panthers coming up. Bennett Cook is really a load in the middle. 30 points. Clint Carlson, we've seen him do this every now and then, going off for 23. And it's just a very nice win. And we'll see how far this team can go.
6-3 is the record for UNI. And we'll talk about this with Kevin, but you got to put an asterisk next to it. Getting to the finals of the battle for Atlantis, doing what they did and getting there, beating SMU, beating North Carolina State, playing Villanova very tough before falling. All this helps that RPI and
lost to North Carolina.
Absolutely. And was in that game in the second half down at Chapel Hill in the season opener. And North Carolina took apart Michigan a couple nights ago right there. What has happened to the Big Ten?
Only won two games in the ACC series. One more game tonight, Michigan State and Notre Dame, but wow, it hasn't been good.
Now, granted, I think the ACC is better than the Big Ten this year, but I didn't think they would be this much better. You take a look at the games like last night, the home courts that the Big Ten fell on, Minnesota falling to Miami last night, Ohio State falling to Clemson. Last night, it was certainly one I think Ohio State probably in the Big Ten thought they might get. Minnesota at home, even though Miami's unbeaten and in the top 10, I think the Gophers thought they could get that one too. Good game. Indiana played well against Duke last night, though, I thought.
Nebraska the only team that won last night,
yep.
Is that right?
Nebraska beat Boston College in Lincoln last night. So they held the banner of the Big Ten last night. It's been, Nebraska?
You can't say that very often.
Who got the other win for the Big Ten in this thing? I can't even remember a couple nights ago. Help me out, Kyle.
Wasn't Purdue.
Yes, it was. Purdue beat Louisville. Purdue beat Louisville.
Okay.
That was the one. There you go. All right, 3:23. We'll talk college hoops. We're going to do that with Kevin Lehman coming up next after this break here on the Thursday edition of the Gym Class right here on KGYM. So back with more coming up right after this.
Money. So is this. And this. It may not sound like money to you, but it will. Because you'll get paid while you learn to do it all. That's how the apprenticeship program at Carpenters Union, Local 308, Local 1260, and Local 678 works. You earn while you learn. So, no student debt. Check out carpentersunionapprenticeship.com. This is how you build a career.
AutoZone presents the oil change. Regular oil changes protect your engine from wear and tear, helping your car roll well beyond the 100,000-mile mark. Right now, save on 5 quarts of Castrol Edge Full Synthetic or High Mileage and an STP Extended Life Filter for $26.99 or upgrade to a Mobil 1 filter for $3 more. So visit your local AutoZone. With over 5,000 locations, the right supplies and good advice are just around the corner. Let's get you what you need. See store for restrictions and details.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
The KGYM Road Trip comes to you live with the Todd Brummelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. It's your chance to hang out while we're broadcasting and get your hands on some swag from the gym and other prizes. Want to know when it's happening? Find the road trip schedule at KGYMradio.com. The KGYM Road Trip, live from the Coach's Corner Sports Pub, Mormon Trek Boulevard in Iowa City. Driven by Linder Tire Service. Linder Tire keeps you rolling during all your road trips. Visit LinderTire.com for great tire and service specials.
They go to the ballpark to watch the game. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes, the Gym Class, KGYM.
3:25, Thursday edition of the Gym Class, coming your way right here on KGYM, 1600 AM, 107.5 and 106.3 FM. Thank you for joining us. As we mentioned, three basketball games, three different frequencies coming your way tonight. Iowa State women at Drake tonight, 7 o'clock, 1600 AM. Just prior to 7 o'clock on 106.3 FM, it'll be a big boys basketball battle, West Des Moines Dowling at Iowa City West, and then myself and Denny will be over at Kennedy tonight. Kennedy hosting Linmar. That is a non-conference game, by the way, but still a good one. 107.5 FM will have that around 7:30 or thereabouts here this evening. Tiger shoots 3 under par in his first round back. At what are they calling that thing? The Hero Challenge?
The Hero World Challenge,
Hero
Scott.
Hero World Challenge. All right, thank you very much. Talk UNI, to talk Iowa, to talk Iowa State, to talk Drake, to talk college hoops. Kevin Lehman joining us here on this Thursday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. And did you have a good Thanksgiving, Kevin?
I did. I was actually in the Cayman Islands.
That's a good Thanksgiving.
Well, they don't celebrate Thanksgiving in the Cayman Islands since it is not a U.S. state or territory.
Well,
there was some turkey, and there's some mashed potatoes down there.
Awesome, awesome. Well, let's start with UNI. You were there last night to witness it. Another resume-building win for Ben Jacobson and the Panthers as they knocked off an undefeated and a pretty good UNLV team.
Yeah, very good team, and Bennett Cook had what I would call an out-of-body experience. And he went off for 30 points against Brandon McCoy, who is a McDonald's All-American, a freshman, 7'250", and this is a kid that's getting projected that he may be a one-and-done. And Bennett Cook, the fifth-year senior, really had his way with Brandon McCoy.
Well, you saw this team in the Cayman Islands, too, and did that surprise you, reaching the championship game?
On which team now?
Oh, you and I was in the Bahamas.
I'm sorry, you and I was in the Bahamas, yeah. But
yeah, they were in the battle for Atlantis.
Right.
But when I talked to Coach Jacobson, though, Mark, that tournament where they beat SMU, which is a good team on the American Conference, and they came back and beat NC State, and then to play Villanova, they were down 5 with about 5 minutes left against Villanova. So he really said that was a confidence builder for this team. And the concern is when you take a trip like that, to come back, the quick turnaround, the travel, usually you're a little bit wore out, so he's very concerned about this Las Vegas team that they beat last night. But battle for Atlantis was huge. And what you're seeing in this team, Mark and Scott, is the leadership is really starting to develop. Clint Carlson is stepping up. His numbers don't pop off, but what he's doing as far as a leader is huge for this Northern Iowa team. And Bennett Cook's confidence level is at an all-time high. This is a UNLV team that said, we're going to take away the three ball. So it allowed Cook and Carlson to operate one-on-one inside, and they did not shy away from that one bit.
Well, the guard play has been strong, too, especially in the Bahamas, I thought.
Well, Tywan Pickford, who's playing that wing freshman, has just been sensational. 18 rebounds, 18 points against NC State. And he's the type of guy that you and I has not had for a while. You don't have to run a play for Tywan Pickford, and he's still going to get you double-figure rebounds, and he may get you double-figure points. And his ability to rebound the basketball has lifted the level of Bennett Cook and Carlson because they're like, look at this guy go get it. We got to get in there, too. This is a team that was a -7 rebound margin a year ago, and now they're at a +7. So they had a huge swing in that department for these Panthers. They're really playing well right now, guys. They're a really well-connected team. They've got some leadership. They got some 2-3. Juwan McLeod is growing as a point guard, still making some mistakes, but he's playing much better. He's becoming more of a distributor and less of a point guard mentality to try and score. So I like what's happening there also. And Wyatt Lohouse, they're hoping to have him back against Texas Arlington this coming, I believe it's next Tuesday they have Arlington coming up.
I was just going to ask you about Wyatt Lohouse, so that's very good news right there. The Mo Valley's had some very good non-conference wins so far this year. I guess the question is, with UNI and how they have done, what they've built on their resume, does UNI go into the season, the conference year, as the favorite in the Valley now?
Well, I'll tell you what, guys, you know, the Valley got beat up with Wichita State leaving, of course, Creighton years ago. But if you look at their RPIs, I know it's early and the league is pumping this out, but they have 5 of their 10 teams in the top 100 of the RPI. Right now in leagues, they're fifth. They're ahead of the Big Ten as far as early metrics. But they've got some good wins. Drake beating Wake Forest was huge because if you're going to be a double bid league, which you're trying to get back to, your bottom of your league's got to get better. Drake lost at last night by 2, but that win over Wake Forest. Indiana State wins at Indiana. Of course, Northern Iowa with a win over NC State. And also, you got Illinois State with a win over South Carolina. So they've got some good wins. Valparaiso is a team that's surprising people. You know, they are undefeated. They're at 8-0 right now, along with North Carolina, two teams that got their Duke, they got to 8-0 first. So that's been kind of a surprise. That was a new team that they've added. So they're kind of smiling like the cat that ate the canary down at the league office because of what this Valpo team's doing.
Kevin, we took the temperature of our listeners yesterday in our poll question, and it essentially asked, how concerned are you about the Iowa basketball team? And I'll ask you the same question.
Well, I did see them and broadcast 3 of their games in Cayman Islands. That came out in Classic. A talented team, and I'm trying to figure out and put your finger on what the problems are. I think it's a team that's still really young. The only senior being Dom Mule is not getting much playing time. So those teams, and I also think this is a team that may have a bit of a sophomore slump. The freshmen had success last year. They kind of easy games when they went over. So now it's kind of like they're getting the little smack in the mouth, and how are they responding to that? They haven't defended well. They haven't been connected at the defensive end. Offensively, there's not a guy that says, hey, we need to get a basket right now. It's got to go inside. We got to do this. Tyler Cook has tried to flex his muscles in there, and they don't have that guy at the defensive end. Hopefully, Nicholas Bear coming back will give them some more senior leadership. And that point guard position, guys, that's become a problem with Christian Williams gone. Connor McCaffrey, I think, can really help them. But how long will it take to get back from having mono? Because if you've ever had that disease, and I have, that is it takes a while to strengthen that because it really saps you. But they need him at the point to let Jordan Bohannon play some off guard and also give Bohannon some rest.
Yeah, that's the big thing. Getting him some rest, because I think he just got flat out tired, especially in that second half of the game against Virginia Tech. You talked about the defense a little bit, Kevin, and that's been not only a worry this year, but it's been worries in the past for this Iowa basketball team. Do you think there's a potential there for it to get better? Garza's going to get stronger on the inside. Cook is there. They'll get Bear back to full strength coming up in the next couple of weeks or so, but they get right into conference play coming up now Saturday.
Well, no question, Penn State coming in. And here's what the problem is, Scott. When I saw it happen down at Cayman Islands, Louisiana team had physical guards, and that coach told me, we're going to drive it right to the middle. And they did that. They scored 48 points, the Raging Cajuns, on Hawks, just driving the thing into the paint. That's been their problem. It's more trying to contain dribble penetration and keep people out of the interior of the defense, not only in their zone, but in their man-to-man, because there's some gaps in their zone, aren't getting covered up, ball reversals are getting penetration there, and then it's distorting your defense because you come up and help out. All those things just compound the problems. As we saw against Virginia Tech, if you don't score the basketball, teams with speed, you're going to chase them the other way. You either got to score inside to slow those teams down or get the free throw line. They haven't been able to do that on a consistent basis. It's a team that, to me, looks like they're still looking for a leader to emerge. And that's why I go back to say, this is a young team. You have a senior that says, last time through, they become your leaders, and they grab those guys by the jersey when needed and straighten them out. I've seen Clint Carlson do that for Northern Iowa. I don't see anybody in that Iowa team that's stepped up and taken it yet.
After dropping its first two, Iowa State had a very nice tournament in South Carolina, the Puerto Rico Classic, and won that tournament. I thought Cameron Lard, you could tell how much of a difference he's going to be for the Cyclones, but guys like Donovan Jackson and Nick Weiler-Babb have really come through as well. I wonder your observations of the Cyclones at this point.
I thought what Steve Prohm doing of taking Nick Weiler-Babb and moving him to that point position has really changed the complexion of the team. It's taken the pressure off of Lindell Wigginton to run the show, the freshman. It's allowed him to score more, to penetrate more, get the free throw line more. And Babb's numbers are off the charts now at that point guard position. He's shooting 56% from the field, 43% from the – and his assist-to-turnover ratio is off the charts. And it's also freed up Donovan Jackson just to become a shooter. I really like the complexion of what's happening with that team. And Cameron Lard, Hans Brace has given him some little more power inside. You know, Lard can really be an explosive player for them. 65% from the field. He had a double-double. He's got to get more consistent because he's just a freshman. But that team, they've got a Northern Illinois team. And then you got that matchup with Iowa. I think we'll find out a lot about both the Iowa team and the Iowa State team when they match up in Hilton Coliseum.
I would agree with that, but it's going to be different because Iowa's going to have the two conference games just prior to that, including their trip to Indiana coming up to start the week. And I don't know, does that take a little bit of polish away from Iowa State this year?
You know, it may, Scott, but you look at that schedule for Iowa. This is a tough stretch. They went to Virginia Tech. They got the two Big Ten games, as you mentioned. And it's December 2nd, December 4th. That is early for conference play. And you got Teron get ready for Iowa State right after that. Iowa State be in a position, better position there as they get to focus more on Iowa State. And then, you know, a couple games. And you got Drake in the Hy-Vee Classic. Drake's a dangerous team because they shoot the three ball so well. And then before you know it, you're right into Big Ten play again after that matchup with Colorado. So, yeah, this is a fairly difficult stretch for Iowa. And they didn't get things done down the Caymans where they need to get some wins. So their resume right now needs a lot of work and needs some help.
What's happened to the Big Ten in its challenge against the ACC, Kevin?
They're getting smacked around, Mark.
Yeah.
What do we have? A win by Purdue and by Nebraska.
That's it.
And then you've got Notre Dame at Michigan State tonight, but it is not looking good for the Big Ten. And I thought this was going to be a really good year for the Big Ten. It's two wins for the Big Ten and 11 losses have not fared well. And that is, in the last couple of years, they've kind of been able to control this ACC Big Ten challenge after the ACC did for early years. But Big Ten, I'm concerned about how many bids this league can get because they're not putting together strong resumes here in the non-conference.
No, they're not. It doesn't mean the year is over, I think, in the Big Ten, though, to this point. ACC is really good. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
Yeah, ACC is really good. The SEC is getting better, guys. And the Big 12 is the team that or league that I thought might be Kansas and the Nine Dwarfs. They got five teams in the top 25 now. As Baylor's come on, as they usually do, Tech's kind of a new player in that. You know, we knew West Virginia was going to be good. So that's what surprised me is the Big 12 coming on as strong as they have.
Well, Texas Tech with some very convincing wins. And if they start to get things going, man alive, look out. Maybe this is not going to be a down year in the Big 12.
Well, not only that, don't forget about TCU, came and beat Iowa in that NIT last year and ended up winning the NIT under Jamie Dixon. There's another team that's emerging in the Big 12. And you look at the top 25, you got Michigan State, you got Minnesota, who was able to win a game 5-on-3, which may be harder to do than we think, guys. Did you see the clips of that game?
Yes.
Just Alabama had the three players.
Yep.
Not something you practice every day.
I have never seen that before.
No, I have not either.
Hey, Kevin,
Northwestern, you know, they've taken, I thought Northwestern could be a team that could, is going to contend. Michigan State is the team to beat. I think Minnesota's right behind them. I thought Northwestern would be up in that pack too, but Northwestern's had some struggles early.
Kevin, now we had a text earlier talking about how much this particular person liked the quarter system and a women's basketball game, and we talked about it being experimented with in the NIT last year. Do you favor that?
When I went to Korea and Kansas was representing the USA in the World University Games, we did the quarter system there because they're playing international rules. I did because of the free throw situation dramatically. Because there's no longer a 1-on-1. You go right into the two-shot bonus, I believe, on the fifth or sixth foul. And it gives them another TV timeout, Mark.
Mm-hmm.
You got more quarters in there.
Well, everyone.
I don't know if it's going to be the men go to it or not. You know, there was talk of it. Then that talk has kind of gone away. So we'll have to see. There's been so many rule changes in college basketball to allow more freedom of movement. So you're seeing these video game scores and big numbers coming out because it's difficult to guard people. One of the problems I was run into, you know, to guard someone one-on-one. And back at Iowa, Iowa does the guy that breaks you down and it can beat you off the dribble. That's what teams are doing now because you've got a shorter shot clock. You've got a lot of rules that favor the offensive player. And, you know, I think that's working against this Iowa team right now.
You probably coach a little differently in the quarter system, don't you, Kevin?
You know, I haven't seen enough at Mark to really answer that for you. Because the one thing I like in the international rules is the offensive rebound, the shot clock, went back, that's a 24-second shot clock, went to 14.
Hmm.
Now, we're seeing it now on the new rules this year in men's basketball on any violation in the front court with a shot clock under 20, it resets to 20 and not 30. That does speed up the game, and it changes your late-game situation where you're not going to foul because the shot clock is shorter. That is a rule that I really like, and I would like to see men's basketball go that where it's an offensive rebound, the shot clock, instead of resetting to 30, would reset to 20. Because now it takes away all the fouling in that last minute. Because think about it, guys. If you're down two and you get an offensive rebound, you're going to defend. You're trying to go out there and foul again. So it stops those trips to the free throw line and really speeds your game up at the end.
Yeah, good points. It's going to be interesting to see if the quarter system comes up here in the next few years. Hey, before we let you go, teams around the country that have really surprised you, how they've done so far, and maybe a team or two that has gone the other way going into about a week, 2 weeks away from conference play for most conferences.
Well, about teams going south, you got to look at Arizona. You know, they went to battle for Atlantis at Northern Iowa and lost all three games. There's a team that was number three in the country. They're out of the top 25. So what happens down there with Arizona? Can they get that ship righted. And the team that I think has really surprised people is Notre Dame. We're going to find out a lot more about this Notre Dame team tonight when they go to Michigan State. But that's a team that's really boosted and moved upward. And also Texas A&M. There's a team from the SEC that has had some really nice wins. They went in one at West Virginia. So there's another team to keep an eye on.
80-96. Go ahead.
The team I saw in Cayman Islands, the best team down there was in Cincinnati. They were like bulldogs after a piece of meat. This is a really strong team that Mick Cronin has, and they come out and they guard you for 94 feet.
80-96 on the text line. Don't count out Arizona, Kevin. Bad tournament last week, but they get an All-American back next week.
Well, that will certainly help them, but that's a team that has fallen from grace in quite a hurry. And how about this one, guys? How about Tim Floyd retiring over the weekend?
Yeah.
Six games in.
Get that at UTEP?
I don't think anybody saw that coming.
I thought that was really strange that that you retire even before you get through the month of December with your team.
Well, and then Jeff Lebo resigning last night. So strange things happening.
When you're 1-5, that might accelerate things, Kevin.
Yeah, that's true. But, you know, Tim had a great run at Iowa State.
Yes, he did.
Marcus Fizer and those players. That was a really good time for the Cyclones.
Yeah, no doubt about that. No doubt about that. What's up next for you? Where are you headed off now?
Well, I'm going to have Northern Iowa again when they play Arlington. And Texas Arlington now is a team that's picked to win the Sun Belt. Now, Sun Belt is where Louisiana came out of, the Raging Cajuns that beat Iowa in the Cayman Classic. So this is a pretty good Sun Belt league. Texas Arlington is a very talented team. I haven't done a lot of research on, but I know that they're at 6-1 right now. So that's going to be another really good challenge for Northern Iowa, possible resume builder, and you got to protect the home court.
There you go. I'll try to check all those boxes up coming up early next week. Hey, Kevin, appreciate it. Enjoy the hoops, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys. Always a pleasure.
You bet. Kevin Lehman, college basketball analyst, joining us here on the Gym Class each Thursday throughout the basketball season right here on KGYM. 3:46, we'll take a break, come back. We'll update you what happened on the lanes last night when we return.
What could be better than watching your team defeat their rival? Celebrating the victory with Larceny Wheated Bourbon. Award-winning Larceny Bourbon is made with more wheat for a smoother taste. It's hand-selected by our master distillers from the finest barrels for a true small-batch bourbon. Get caught in the act. Unlock the smoothness of Larceny Bourbon today. Larceny Bourbon, Bardstown, Kentucky. 46% alcohol by volume. Think wisely, drink wisely.
By O'Reilly Auto Parts and purchase 5 quarts of Castrol High Mileage Motor Oil and a MicroGuard filter for the same price as Castrol Conventional, just $24.99. Plus, earn a $10 O'Reilly Auto Parts gift card by mail when you purchase 5 quarts of Castrol High Mileage and a MicroGuard filter. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. Limits apply. See store for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You get such an amazing shave using a Dollar Shave Club razor with their shave butter that you'll want to use their other products too. They make stuff for your hair, face, skin, and shower, and they deliver it to you. They even have gift memberships and e-cards available. And right now, you can get your first month of the club's best razor along with travel versions of their shave butter, body cleanser, and butt wipes for just $5. After that, replacement cartridges ship for just a few bucks a month. Get it all exclusively at dollarshaveclub.com/jones. That's dollarshaveclub.com/jones.
Covering everything from the preps to the pros, with a little bit of old-school mentality thrown in for good measure. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on the Gym Class. KGYM.
Well, they say these things go in threes as we welcome you back at 3:48 here on the Gym Class on KGYM. Of course, we are mourning the passing of Jim Nabors today, and then breaking news just in the last couple minutes coming out of Des Moines, Mark. This one hitting a little bit closer to home here in the state of Iowa. But an icon over in Central Iowa has passed away.
Yeah, Paul Morrison, known as Mr. Drake, has died just a few days after his 100th birthday. He was essentially Drake's athletic historian, served as sports information director, and was all things Drake. I don't know how another way to put it. Paul gone at age 100.
Yeah, just
good long life.
Very long life. Mike Mahon, the former colleague and still working at Drake University, is the one that I think essentially let everybody know about this. He enrolled at Drake in 1935. He graduated in 1939. As you mentioned, sports information director and the official historian of Bulldog Athletics, the guy that was basically, he knew everything about Drake, knew everything there is to know about the Drake Relays, and man alive. Some quotes here that Des Moines Register has put out already. Jan Jensen, former Drake, great women's basketball player now at Iowa. If you had a Mount Rushmore of Drake, Paul is on it. And that says a lot right there, because Drake had, you know, go back to Lewis Lloyd. You go back to
Rick Wanamaker, Dolph Polium. Yeah.
Those guys that were there when the Bulldogs were big timers in the late 60s, early 70s, as far as NCAA men's basketball is concerned.
Every school needs a Paul Morrison. Well, they really do. I mean, I think in a lot of places, a lot of schools, history is lost. You go to some of the websites these days, and you can't find any records. You can't find any history, so to speak, especially in these days of the internet. But Paul Morrison made sure it was all covered at Drake.
Yeah, and will be missed out there. And he passes away just after turning 100. So our condolences to Drake and to the Morrison family and everybody over there in the central part of the state. Last night, it was Bowling Night in America, and our wrap-up is brought to you by May City Bowl on Trent Street Southwest in Cedar Rapids. And give them a call if or stop by the Pro Shop and check out what they have. There is, you know, the holiday season is here. You can always buy your loved ones some new bowling accessories out there by chance.
You were there. I wasn't. And just outward appearances, it looks like you guys needed a Mark Ironside pep talk in games 1 and 3.
Yes, we did.
game 2, okay. You won it pretty handily, but 1 and 3... He dropped. I think only lost the series by 18 pins. Is that right?
Yeah,
something like that.
It came down to the very end. Just could not pull away. It wasn't the greatest night for the Nails last night. I think I was the only one that got the average, but we were still in it, kicking in the 10th frame. So I guess that's good.
Well, the Union Station takes us down 3 points to 4, and we'll try again next week. Tied for third in the mature Evergreen League right now. 30-22 are the Rusty Nails through 13 weeks, 5 games behind co-leaders Durline Scale and Viking Lounge, one of the 2 Viking teams. So we'll try it again next week. Chad Pettijohn, 252 for high game last
Pride
night.
Pride of
Vinton. Yes. Taylor Butkerite, 723, the only 700 in the league last night. Kind of unusual.
It was a tough night.
Tough shot.
It was a tough pattern last night. There was a lot of head scratching going on.
I'm glad I wasn't there.
At the lanes. A lot of it having to do with our own team.
Next week is defending league champion KBO Catering on our schedule, and we are tied with KBO for third place, so something may or may not give next week.
We were right next to them. They were to our right. We were conversating last night, Ken and Ian. It'll be fun. Always fun when
usually is
we go up against those guys.
Scott mentioned the holidays. If you want to inquire about any open bowling or visit the Pro Shop, see what's out there, what Andy Dirks has to offer in the Pro Shop, give him a call, 362-0136, or visit the website, MayCityBowlCR.com.
Yep, and we'll be back at it coming up again next week. I think we just missed our beloved leader.
Rusty?
Yes.
Well, he was taking care of business in Tennessee last night.
He will not be the coach of the Tennessee Volunteers, no matter how many times we've broadcast it, how many times he has asked. longtime, lifelong volunteer fan, Rusty will not take over as the head coach of the Tennessee Volunteers.
It's almost laughable, isn't it?
It's getting to that point. Dave Doran has turned them down today, and he got a nice pay raise at North Carolina State along with his staff because of that. And now they're turning their attention to Kevin Sumlin, the former Texas A&M coach.
They just recycle him, don't they? I told Alex in the sports office, I think if Tennessee called Mark Farley, Mark Farley would turn them down.
I think he
and
would.
Why not?
I think he would. I think he would at this point. So, yeah, why not? Why not? All right, we'll take a break, come back, wrap her up after this. You're listening to the Gym Class, KGYM. May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league, but they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl, off Williams Boulevard, Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the Gym.
Meet the Christmas shopping crowds this holiday season and start your shopping at Siegel's. Get jewelry at 40 to 75% off retail savings. This sale includes our entire stock of new and estate jewelry, diamonds, watches, tennis bracelets, gold and sterling. No interest layaway and Synchrony financing available. Visit our family-owned and operated store located on First Avenue, one block south of Town and Country Shopping Center.
There's always something special at Siegel's.
Get a financial education Monday mornings at 7:20 on the Gym during Corridor Money Matters featuring Tryon Investments. Learn even more at tryoninvestments.com.
Big time high school basketball matchups come up this Thursday night on KGYM. On 107.5 FM at 7:30 on Thursday, it's the Metro and non-conference NBC battle between Linmar and Kennedy. On 106.3 FM, the South Gym, it's a huge non-conference showdown between West Des Moines Dowling and Iowa City West. Two big games this Thursday night presented by First Federal Credit Union. Linmar and Kennedy on 107.5 FM and West Des Moines Dowling and Iowa City West on 106.3 FM. This Thursday night starting at 7:30 on KGYM.
At KGYM Radio on Twitter, Dukes and Unash, the Gym Class on KGYM.
Back with you at 3:55. Coming up on 3:56, the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn is coming your way next right here on KGYM. We'll talk to Adam Rittenberg coming up tomorrow live from the Big Ten Championship game on Friday. We'll also have the Carl and Ernie's Pick 6 coming your way tomorrow right here on KGYM. Poll question is up at KGYMradio.com, and it's brought to you by Emil's Hideaway.
Thank you to Emil's for sure. Who will be the bigger loss to the Iowa defense in 2018, Josie Jewell or Josh Jackson? I would say somebody with the initials of JJ.
Yeah, you're right about that. Go ahead and vote KGYMradio.com, and more talk about that coming up here on the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. That'll be coming your way next. And Tiger, 3 under par, 69 today. And he currently sits at tied for eighth, correct? Three behind Tommy Fleetwood.
That is correct.
At this point in the, 18-player hero
18-player field, four rounds. We'll see how Tiger gets through it. And I have to say, he looked pretty decent today. A little rusty around the greens. But
got to get that chipping better.
He does. But generally, not so bad.
Not so bad.
We've got some nice basketball on the airways tonight, don't we?
Yeah, we do. I will be out at Kennedy for Kennedy and Linmar. Always fun when they get together in boys basketball, even though it's non-conference tonight. 7:30 on 107.5 FM, and then we'll have Morgan and Eric down at West High tonight. That'll be a little early start, about 6:45, 6:50 on 106.3 FM right in there. Iowa City West hosting Dowling Catholic coming up tonight. From down in Iowa City, and then we'll have women's basketball at 1600 a.m. at 7 o'clock. Iowa State women head to Drake. And again, Mr. Drake, Paul Morrison passing away at the age of 100 today. I bet it'll be a tough one tonight at the Knapp Center.
And Jim Nabor's gone at age 87. I'm going to go home and watch some Andy Griffith reruns.
There you go.
How about that?
All right. Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn coming your way next.
Your car has lots of lights. You've got headlights, interior lights, the light that comes on when you open your glove box. But there's one light that's the pest of the bunch, your check engine light. And at AutoZone, we have the tools to help you troubleshoot the real problem.